it's the Peter B. Collins Show, and your humble host is off today. Please give a warm left coast welcome to a great progressive voice from the Motor City, Detroit, Michigan. Here's Tony Truppiano.
Welcome, everybody. Tony Truppiano with you on the Peter B. Collins Show. A glorious Friday to all of you. Obviously, the Memorial Day holiday coming up, but we save the best for last. Brad Friedman's going to join us here in just a moment. I want to remind you, if you want to join us during this hour, and I encourage you to do that, toll-free 888-5-PETER-B. That's 888-573-8372, and emails are always welcome at tony@thetonyshow.com, because I like to use every second I can to spend with my friend Brad. I'm just going to go right to him. Joining us now, as he does with Peter B. on a weekly basis and me on my show on a weekly basis, Brad Friedman from bradblog.com. Hey, pal, how are you this evening?
I'm doing well. How are you, my friend?
I'm fine. You know, I just kind of sneaked over to the Brad blog since I had dinner a couple hours ago, and you've made a little change since I was last there. Brad, do I get the impression you like Al Gore?
If you get that impression... It's certainly not for me, is it? All I'm asking is, will Al Gore run? I will tell you this. I do like the idea of him running. I think he should be running. I think he should be in the debate. And I think the debate is sorely lacking his voice.
Well,
not
it's
to
interesting.
Mention the fact that he should have been president for 8 years by now. But that's really a different topic, isn't it?
Yeah, that really is a different topic, Brad. And just so people understand the running score, and I want to encourage people to go over to bradblog.com and vote. It's pretty simple. Just go there and click your mouse. It's that simple. Right now, the question is, will Al Gore run for president in 08? 49% say yes. 23% say no. And interestingly, 30% don't know.
That would be actually votes, not percent.
Oh, those are votes.
That,
okay.
I think adds up to more. But, yeah, well, and it's not to should he run, it's will he run. And what's your opinion on that, Tony?
I think he will run. I think this book was his basically the opening of his campaign.
And what's it going to take? What's the holdup?
Well, I don't know that there's necessarily a holdup. I think it's more a strategy, Brad. You know, he doesn't have to be a candidate until, I would think, you know, September, maybe October of this year at the very latest. And in the process, this, you know, let's be honest about it. Al Gore's making more money than he ever thought he would, and he had a lot of money to begin with.
Right.
And I just think, you know, that he's taking his time, he's positioning himself. I think it's a very clever strategy.
Well, you know what? I hope you're right. And because, like I say, I think his voice needs to be in the debate. I'm not necessarily endorsing him for president right now, or anybody else for that matter, because I think it's ridiculously early. I think the idea that we've got these debates going on, I've been pondering, I'll be frank, I think there's a very good possibility for all of this nonsense and these discussions and these debates that are going on right now with these candidates. I think a good case can be made that neither the Democratic nor Republican nominee is actually in the race yet. Now, that's just me, and I've got no evidence to back that up one way or another, but, you know, I wonder if we move the clock 1 year down the road, if we'll find that, you know, all of these debates and discussions right now going on are essentially for naught because the person running in each party is not really announced in the race right now.
Well, I think it's a legitimate question, Brad. We know that Fred Thompson and Newt Gingrich are both considering a run on the Republican side.
Right.
We know that, you know, Al Gore, although he is not committed, he may run. So I don't think I think it's quite a legitimate question. Are the people that were, you know, jockeying for position on, and I don't mean you and I jockeying for position on, it may not be one of those folks. There's no question that that's true. It's a very legitimate question.
And I think that all of it underscores in the time that's even spent, you know, I don't talk much about, I think this may be the only actual blog item that I've had sort of devoted to what will or won't happen in 2008, because I don't generally talk about it, because the fact of the matter is, I think it is currently amongst the least important things that this country right now has to deal with, period. And yet, if you look at the news, it is amongst the most dealt with by the news media. And even Al Gore last night when he was on The Daily Show, you know, was sort of talking about exactly that. And that, you know, there's question about, you know, his weight gain and will he run and will he won't. And of course, Tim, you know, Meet the Press. What's his
Tim
name?
Tim Russert.
Thank you. Tim Russert is just absolutely obsessed with who is going to run and win in 2008. He has been for months and months, all the while not bothering to talk about the things that actually matter to this country, whether it's Iraq, whether it's election reform. You know, it's incredible how much time is wasted in the mainstream corporate media on stuff that simply doesn't matter. And to that end, I will add this immigration debate. I think it's a ridiculous debate. I think it's a Republican debate. And once again, these sappy Democrats have fallen into the Republican sand trap by even dealing with this at this point. You know, there is so much more. Our country is on fire right now. This administration needs to be removed from top to bottom. And they're wasting valuable, I think, valuable news time focusing on stuff that doesn't matter. Hell, Monica Goodling said out loud in a U.S. House Judiciary oversight hearing this week that vote caging occurred in 2004. Highly illegal. It's a felony. It occurred, and she says that Tim Griffin was in some way involved with it. Tim Griffin was an aide to Karl Rove. This, she's saying vote caging occurred in 2004 presidential election in the U.S. House Judiciary Committee, the committee that you know, would run any impeachment hearings on the President of the United States, and virtually nobody on that committee brought up, you know, went back to that startling statement she said at the top of her testimony. And I believe almost no mainstream media have even reported her utterance. I find that extraordinary. Is that just me?
It's disturbing. No, Brad, it's not just extraordinary. It's disturbing. And, you know, and interestingly, I read an article today, the Pew Research Center, you know, it follows television trends amongst many millions of other things. And one of the things that they discovered was that the media has focused on Democratic candidates for the presidency by the tune of 71% over Republicans, 24%. But the hell with all the other stuff. The bottom line to this thing was they're not even focusing on issues. They're focusing on criticism and critiques of candidates.
Yeah, haircuts.
Yeah.
I mean, that's the bottom line. And even if this was a sane time in our country, and I think history will bear out that this is one of the most extraordinary periods in the history of our country, even if this was a sane moment, you know, the questions about what we judge our presidents by, or our potential presidents by, and how the media enabled this judgment is just, you know, extraordinary to think about. Their haircut, how did they sound? Did they sound presidential? Was Hillary Clinton too screechy? Or, you know, what about their ideas? And interestingly enough, on both sides of the debate, frankly, over on the Republican side, you've got Ron Paul. Over on the Democratic side, you've got Mike Gravel and Dennis Kucinich, the people who are talking about the most substantive ideas and the things that matter the most to our country, are regarded as a joke, an absolute joke by the mainstream media.
Well,
they
Brad,
could never become president. You know, they're just in it for they're the punchline, really, of this entire debate.
Well, Brad, let me share something with you, and I'll have this audio up on my website early next week. I interviewed Mike Gravel today.
Yeah,
I got 40 extraordinary minutes of audio.
Mm-hmm.
I have people writing me and calling the show in tears of joy over hearing a voice of somebody with authority, and Mike Gravel, a former senator from Alaska, all the credentials you'd want to have, speaking truth to power.
Yeah.
You couldn't be more correct, Brad.
Well, and look, if you look at even that Fox News debate they had on the Republicans, they were, you know, the entire day Fox News was talking about this wonderful phone poll they were going to have. Who won the debate? Now, never mind this won or lost nonsense, because that's, you know, it doesn't happen in these debates. But they were pounding this thing over and over all day long, all throughout the debate, all throughout the post-debate coverage. Give us a call. Who won the debate? Well, guess what? Ron Paul won hands down. Now, at late at night, suddenly that changed, and he fell into second place. Well, the next day on the Fox News website, you could not find a link to that poll. Now, what does it say that Ron Paul, even if he came in second, he was far and away, you know, ahead of the guy who came in third. What does this say about what Americans want and don't want? And, of course, we don't even need to discuss the duplicity of a Fox News that, you know, when they don't get the result that they had hoped for, that they're, you know, quickly able to bury it. I would love, on the bigger picture, and I know you got to get to a break here, but, you know, I would love your thoughts, if I might turn the tables on you, as far as when you ran for Congress recently. You know, were you able to deal with the issues, or was the, you know, the media solely focused on, you know, these sort of superficial issues that you see in the presidential race?
Well, I'll answer that when we get back from the break. But before we do this, I thought you'd get a kick out of this, Brad. On The Simpsons last Sunday, they had their 400th episode.
Right.
And there's this scene where Lisa and Bart and the news guy, whatever his name, Kent Brockman, are sitting on Homer's couch. And they're watching Fox News. And Lisa turns to Kent and she says, "Why is it that Fox News is so conservative, yet the Fox network is so raunchy?" And he says, "Lisa, it's just the dirty little secret nobody talks about in the media. The monies that the Fox network pays for that raunch and fines helps to fund the Republican Party."
It was, and they said that on funny. The show?
Yeah.
Bravo.
Yeah, it was really quite funny. Anyway, Brad Friedman, my guest, bradblog.com. We do have a lot of other information to get to. Brad also has, beyond the poll, he's got a premium offer that I want to share with you before we get out of here today, too. Again, the number, if you'd like to join us, 888-573-8372. That's 888-5-PETER-B. If you'd like to send an email, tony@thetonyshow.com. We'll take a quick break here. I am in for Peter B. Collins. This is the Peter B. Collins Show, and we'll be right back.
You're listening to KRXA 540. Visit our website at krxa540.com.
Okay, you want a website? What next? A lot of people can do the job, but you want innovation at a reasonable price. You want Dale Edward. Dale builds amazing websites with streaming video. Being a pro photographer ensures high-quality content. Websites, wedding, and special events photography, all at a reasonable price. Go to DaleEdward.com or call 277-9847. That's 277-9847.
Do you wish your dentist listened to you? Dr. Daniel Turner has been practicing dentistry in Monterey for 33 years, and he specializes in listening to his patients. For Dr. Daniel Turner, the most important aspect of good dentistry takes place long before you open your mouth. Dr. Turner interviews every new patient so that he'll understand what is important to you. And because Dr. Turner cares about you and your concerns and feelings, he provides outstanding care for your teeth. Dr. Turner's caring attitude and professional manner extend to his entire staff. Karen, Sally, Christy, and Nikki are always courteous and efficient. So if you're looking for a Monterey dentist who listens and who cares, call Dr. Daniel Turner at 375-1112. That's 831-375-1112. Dr. Turner's office is conveniently located at 815 Cass Street, downtown Monterey. Parking is free and plentiful. So for all your dental needs, call Dr. Daniel Turner at 375-1112. He listens. He cares. The Carmel Valley Market is ideal for all of your grovery shopping. Carmel Valley residents can now easily access the tradition of service and quality made famous by the Higuera family at the Grove Market in Pacific Grove. The Carmel Valley Market features the finest selection of fresh local fruits and veggies, as well as a full-service old-fashioned meat counter with USDA choice cuts. And don't forget the deli, with delicious fresh sandwiches made to order. The Carmel Valley Market is located at 2 Chambers Lane, just behind Wells Fargo in Carmel Valley Village. Let the Carmel Valley Market's professional staff meet all of your grocery needs. Stop by and say hello to Ian and Gary Higuera, members of Charlie's family.
This Sunday morning at 10 on Rock Rollin' Real Estate, meet Glenn Plantone, Rock Rollin' Real Estate's own Indiana Jones. Glenn covers all over the world for the best real estate investments, and this week he'll be talking about a condo hotel project in Orlando, Florida. Call him at 702-769-9872. 702-769-9872. That's this Sunday morning at 10, your number one source in real estate investments, Rock Rollin' Real Estate, right here on KRXA 540.
Hey, how about a little Memorial Day getaway traffic? Let's give it to you right now. Pacheco Pass 152 westbound after Dinosaur Point. We have a four-vehicle crash. It's been cleared to the shoulder. Emergency crew is still on scene, and a medical helicopter is also there as well. Traffic is heavy in both directions, as you might imagine. Meanwhile, we're going to take a look at slow traffic out of Gilroy, eastbound 152 between 101 and Dinosaur Point. Obviously, we got that problem there. Just a reminder that we do have a problem working right now in Marina, southbound 1 at 12th. A van ran out of gas blocking the off-ramp there. Hollister, Fraser Lake Road at Shore, a vehicle went off the roadway, collided with barbed wire fence, and the CHP, in fact, is handling that situation. Highway 17 also slow and go in the both directions at this point. This report brought to you by Kaiser Permanente.
Snail mail on ballot advisory. I did indeed, and a bunch of things came up that I have not been able to directly deal with them or even get them posted at Brad Blog. But what Chris is talking about is last week, and thank you for sending that, by the way, Chris. Last week, was it you who actually called into the show last week, Chris?
Yes, I did.
Okay. Chris was given in Monterey County, California, when he went to vote in a special election. He was given a warning when he had asked for a paper ballot. The Monterey County registrar, I guess, had ordered this warning be given to folks who asked to vote with a paper ballot. And if I had half a brain, I would have brought it up to the office with me before going on the air today, but it's been a hectic day. But basically, it says that the Help America Vote Act requires that we warn you that voting by paper ballot may cause an overvote or an undervote. And it was quite scary, I would say, Chris.
Well, let me say that, you know, with all your efforts and getting me involved in this, citizens have been able to change that policy, and they removed the advisory, and they basically just are informing the Monterey County voters that to be careful, to make sure you vote right, correctly, don't overvote, undervote, et cetera, or exactly what those terms are.
That's
so
a great victory. Really, thank you for that. That's a great victory. Actually, it shows how speaking up and how daylight really makes all the difference here. I did check into it, just so you know, Chris, and others know. In fact, Help America Vote Act does require that when using an electronic voting – I'm sorry, when using a paper ballot system, that election officials must have an education program that lets voters know that and I'm reading from the Help America Vote Act here, that notifies each voter of the effect of casting multiple votes for an office. So multiple votes for an office, that would be an overvote. HAVA doesn't say anything about undervoting, and as one expert who I asked about this said, well, HAVA says you're supposed to educate people, not terrify them and intimidate them. And
exactly.
I think pretty clearly that flyer did exactly that, and I did touch base as well with the California Secretary of State, hopefully whatever change there came about because of perhaps pressure that was brought by the Secretary of State, but certainly because of folks like you, Chris, who brought it to the light of day.
Yeah, and I want to thank the Registrar of Voter here in Monterey County for recognizing their over effort and correcting that.
Well done. Thank you, Brad.
I got a meeting with our SAVE group here, and we're going to try to change things. So thanks again, Brad.
Keep up all the good work you're doing, Chris. It means the world, obviously. It means the world because you've changed the way voters are going to vote in Monterey County.
That's awesome, Brad. I mean, that's a great, that you're right, that is a great victory, and congratulations for Chris to stepping up and doing that.
And I'll tell you, Tony, it underscores the fact that, you and I, we've been talking for years now, you know, about what's wrong with our election system. And I think there's this notion out there that, I make the joke tagline on my website that this democracy ain't going to save itself. Well, it's not. And neither is it going to be saved by the media. Neither is it going to be saved by legislation at either the federal or the local level. The only thing that's going to save our democracy is citizens realizing that they own this democracy and that they have to take action to change it. And, that example with Chris in Monterey County is a perfect example of what needs to happen and perfectly underscores why the entire process from top to bottom needs to be transparent, so that the citizens can oversee their election system, not relying on government officials to do it.
Well, and I think for those of us that need victories, there is no victory too small. This happens to be a gigantic victory for this community.
It sure does, and congratulations to Chris. And this is what we see. We see, heroes like that taking these small steps all over the country, and the only time I have ever seen things change is exactly in the case where a citizen takes an action, like with Chris. It doesn't happen if you count on the media or the officials to change their procedures. The bad news is they ain't going to do it. We've got to make them do it, and to that end, we have a responsibility to see that that happens.
Absolutely. Brad, again, I promise I'll get to your question, but we do have to get to the next break.
Yeah, you keep trying to duck that, don't you, Tony?
No, not at all. Not at all. But I got to tell you, is there something about inside the Beltway and the name Monica? Just one of those things.
Another Monica problem.
Yeah, when we're going to talk about that. Great, by the way, great interview at Brad Blog by Greg Pellis, and I want you, everybody, to go there and check it out. Again, Brad's got a premium that we're going to talk about. But let's get to the break here on the Peter B. Collins Show, and we'll return. A lot more to get to. Again, the number, 888-573-8372. I'm Tony Trupiano in for Peter.
Progressive Talk for the Monterey Bay Area. This is KRXA 540, Carmel Valley, Monterey, Salinas, and Santa Cruz. Think for yourself.
Hi, I'm Patty Ross, Realtor. What pops into your mind when you hear the word real estate? Security? Investment? White picket fences? Did you know that real estate is the single most sought-after asset on the planet? More people have accumulated wealth through real estate than by any other means. So whether you own property and want to cash in your equity, or simply want to take advantage of buying in this changing market, you need a qualified agent who understands market conditions and will listen to your needs. From Santa Cruz to Salinas, from Carmel to Big Sur, call me, Patty Ross, for a free consultation. I'm hardworking, experienced, and I care about you. Hey, forget the rest, get the best. Call me, Patty Ross. My heart's in it.
Contact Patty Ross at Keller Williams Realty in Carmel at 622-6235. That's 622-6235, or visit her website, pattyrosscarmel.com.
I am Attorney Sean Mills. Sometimes life does not take the direction that you plan. If you find yourself in need of an honest attorney, call me. I can advise you on both criminal and civil matters. Do not settle for an attorney who simply went to college and law school, when you can work with an attorney with significant life experience, who uses a common sense approach to everyday legal problems. If you think you need an attorney, I will be glad to offer you a no-obligation consultation and evaluation of your legal issue, with no sugarcoating. If you think you have a potential legal issue, it is important that you speak to a qualified attorney as soon as possible. Call me at 831-648-7060. That's 831-648-7060. 1-800-530-1660. I am Attorney Sean Mills.
Miguel Sarmiento, owner and chef of the Mexicali Grill in New Monterey, cordially invites you to visit his restaurant and enjoy quality Mexican food prepared with California seasonings and sauces, all with personalized attentive service. Miguel has more than 14 years of experience preparing Italian, Hawaiian, Mexican, French, and American dishes in restaurants throughout Monterey County. Looking to savor the best Mexicali cuisine served with great margaritas or fine imported or domestic beers? Visit the Mexicali Grill today, located at 204 Lighthouse Avenue at the corner of Reeside Avenue in New Monterey. The Mexicali Grill is open daily for lunch from 11 to 3 and for dinner from 5 to 9. For takeout orders, call 375-9801. That's 375-9801. Miguel has a message for all Central Coast residents who appreciate delicious, high-quality Mexican food at reasonable prices.
Todos son bienvenidos en el Mexicali Grill. Try us. You'll like us a lot.
Carmel's community bookstore, The Pilgrim's Way, is a locally owned independent bookstore and has been for nearly 40 years.
Discover for yourself our intimate and unique setting, including the secret garden, known locally as a hidden treasure in downtown Carmel. Our friendly staff at Pilgrim's Way are available to assist you with any personal needs or gift buying. And our book selection offers the best of personal development, local interest, bestsellers, novels, children's, and metaphysical, plus much, much more. We have great music and healing tools, cards, and garden statuary.
Visit us at www.pilgrimsway.com or call 624-4955 or visit the Pilgrim's Way, Carmel's only bookstore, and the Secret Garden on Dolores Street between 5th and 6th in Carmel.
It's the Peter B. Collins Show, and your humble host is off today. I'm grateful to my radio buddy and fellow progressive, Tony Truppiano, for sitting in. So give him a call toll-free at 888-5-PETER-B. Here he is, Tony Truppiano.
And thank you, Peter B. Peter B. Collins will be back next week. And I appreciate him letting me sit in the big chair. It is a thrill. It truly is a thrill to do this. My guest, Brad Friedman from bradblog.com. You've got the number if you want to join us. Feel free to do that. All right, Brad, you'd asked me a question 20 minutes ago. I'll answer it.
All right. Good.
When you're a candidate and you're on the stump or you're sitting in those editorial boardrooms doing interviews for the media, they presume an awful lot by your party affiliation. And the questions that get asked to you are based on assumptions. And you got to know that I'm not the kind of guy that plays that kind of game. So they always ended up getting something they didn't expect, if that answers your question.
So were they asking you things like, why, Tony, do you want to cut and run and surrender in Iraq?
Stuff absolutely. Like that. That would be the question that they would ask me. Why do you want to provide amnesty to illegal aliens? You know, why would you want to aid and abet criminals that way?
And did you find that, and knowing you, you didn't answer those questions on their level, or did you have to, or did you find that you were able to turn it around and discuss the real debate as opposed to the phony framing that so many in the quote-unquote liberal media have, you know, basically pass on from the right wing, from the Republican Party?
Brad, I almost always started my answers with, I don't accept your question as asked, so let me rephrase it for you so I can give you the answer you deserve.
That's good to know. And in the coverage, then, of those interviews and of your, you know, stump speeches and so forth, did you find that the media would tend to deal substantively with the issues you were talking about, or did they deal with superficial issues? Like
no, you know, I will tell you that they did deal, and of course, as we got into the heated battle of the race, I mean, the last 8-10 weeks, and when my opponent started attacking, I had done so much outreach, Brad, and so much media that I was on record, and I could actually go to these media outlets and say, he said this, you know, because you interviewed me, that's not my position. And more than one paper actually wrote an editorial that said, shame on you, Thad McCotter, for lying about Tony Trupiano. Brad, at the same time, all those papers ended up endorsing my opponent.
Oh, really? Is that right?
Yeah.
So you felt, in general, they would give you fair coverage, even if they ended up, for reasons unknown, endorsing the guy who they thought was being duplicitous?
It was fair. Was it always accurate? No. But I would say it was fair. I think I was treated fairly. And you know how critical I am of the media, Brad.
I do, and that's impressive. And do you feel like it was you who had to hold them to that standard to be fair?
The truth is, and everybody needs to understand this, you don't control it. As the candidate, as a spokesperson, you don't control what they report.
Well, you don't, but as you said, because you challenged them on their premises in the first place, and then you followed up later, unless these are cases where they called you to ask for comment, later in that follow-up, you were to say, look, I talked to you about this earlier. You know for a fact that he is not telling the truth, or he's skewing my position and so forth.
Yeah, it allowed me to open those doors where I perhaps couldn't before. You know, the other odd thing that happened, Brad, was that my opponent refused to be seen in the same room with me, which accounted for the one and only quote-unquote debate that we had. But I will tell you that in every setting where he would go first, because they always give, you know, the incumbent the ability to go first, and I had no problem with that, I would get done with whatever, whether it was recording a TV segment or at a town hall meeting, whatever the situation was, to a person, I mean, to a media individual, they would come up to me and say, dude, I hope you win.
Well, let me ask you this, because I hope you don't mind my, like I said, turning the tables a little bit, but we're old friends, and it's Memorial Day weekend, and nobody's listening. They're all out at the beach anyway.
Okay. I don't think Peter would appreciate that, but okay.
So the question is, this was the first time you ran for office, correct?
Correct.
And this is for the U.S. Congress. Now, would you, after going through this experience, would you, A, do it again? Not asking you if you will, but would you do it again? And B, would you recommend that other people do it, that other citizens do it who might not otherwise think, oh, me, run for office? That's ridiculous. What are your thoughts on that?
I will not run again, Brad, so we can get that out of the way right now. I will definitively not be running for Congress in my congressional district in 08.
So in 08. You already modified your position, didn't you, Tony?
Well, you know what? In 2010, we're going to have a different district because we redistrict in 2010 all over the country.
So you're leaving the door open for a run in 2010, is that right, Tony?
If the leadership of my district are not entrenched in the new district, I would consider it.
All right, I've already got that up as a screaming headline with a siren at Brad Block, so expect your phone to start ringing.
Do I recommend people to Brad? I wouldn't. There's not a moment of that experience that I regret. I don't regret running. I don't regret all the hard work. I don't regret a lot of things. But it also opened my eyes to a new reality. I'm a different kind of Democrat, Brad, than I was when you first met me.
Yeah.
I'm smarter. I'm savvier. I'm wounded. You know, I haven't completely healed from the election yet. I really haven't.
Yeah.
And I'm sure our mutual friend Clint Curtis would share these thoughts.
Mm.
And, you know, part of what happens, and I, as you know, I passionately embrace citizen involvement, getting involved either as dog catcher or running for Congress or the presidency, for that matter. I strongly endorse that people do that. But they need to do it with a different mindset than what they think it is. You need to surround yourself with a group of people that no matter what those around you say, believe in you and that you can win. Now, that my core group did. Unfortunately, my district leadership, when they would be asked, and as, in fact, Brad, if you were to make an anonymous call to the chair of my congressional district,
yeah,
and say, hey, you know, my name's Bob Smith and I'm considering running, she'll give you the same advice she gives everybody. A Democrat can't win in this district. That's the advice she gives out, Brad.
Good Lord. And, well,
and, that's
and
the
no wonder
I
Democrats
got.
Have so much trouble winning time and time again. It's absolutely incredible, and I can sort of shore that up, certainly after my work last summer down in San Diego, when it was revealed that, you know, they were sending these voting machines home on sleepovers, and there was a question about the election results. You had the Democrats coming back, and I'm talking about top level. I talked to people at the National Democratic National Committee, you know, on this, and the DCCC, you know, who came back and said, well, we could challenge what happened there in San Diego, but it's a red district, and so Francine Buzzi, she probably lost anyway. I mean, they have, I can't remember who it was now that I saw. It might have been over at Digby, a blogger, great blogger, by the way, Digby. She said that the Democrats have got to stop with this battered wife syndrome. And I think that really sums up exactly what the way these Democrats seem to operate. Well, we don't deserve any more. We're lucky we have this much.
There's some real truth to that. I was talking to our mutual friend Tim Carpenter from Progressive Democrats of America today, and you know the message that he was spreading, and I think it's an important message, and everybody in this audience needs to hear it. If anybody thinks that the passion that Brad and I bring to our work is about the next election, first of all, you got to understand. And Brad, I don't mean to speak for you, but you've never heard Brad say he's a Democrat. You've never heard Brad say he's a Republican. Frankly, it's none of our business what Brad is.
Well, that's right. I'm happy to beat up on the Democrats when I see them misbehaving as much as the Republicans. And I mean, you're certainly a Democrat in that you ran for office as a Democrat. It's not about the parties. I've always said, particularly when dealing with the elections issues, to me, the things that I care about are not issues of right and left. They are issues of right and wrong. And yet, the Democrats so much have this idea, they have internalized, frankly, Karl Rove's red-blue left-right idea, that they are almost incapacitated to act in favor of what is right.
Well, and frankly, the biggest mistake Democrats make is that they have allowed, and people need to understand historically, conservative Republicans have been molding this party for four decades. The party that we have today was an idea 40 years ago.
Yeah.
And what we need to understand as progressives, and I don't speak for anybody but myself, but what we need to understand for those of you that are progressives in this audience is that what we're building is not about 2008. It's about the rest of our lives.
Indeed. And this comes into, you know, right now we are in the middle of an enormous debate over federal election reform, and Peter and I have talked a great deal about this Rush Holtz H.R. 811 election reform bill. And for the most part, they have started from the premise that, oh, geez, we're lucky to get what we can get. We probably won't even get this bill passed anyway. Therefore, we will accept a huge election reform bill that continues to allow the very same things that have required such an election reform bill in the first place, namely, in this case, allowing for electronic ballots that can never be verified by any human being on a DRE touchscreen system. They begin the debate sort of with that premise. And, therefore, it is little wonder that they can get nothing done. And they end up with what we had yesterday, with a bill like they have now, which is, just a bill that fails on several levels for election reform, despite the fact there's almost universal agreement that we need election reform. So you end up with a bill like that, or you end up with what happened yesterday when the Democrats simply folded and said, okay, well, we'll give you all the money you want for your war, and we'll take out all the benchmarks, and we'll take out all the timelines, and we will call it a victory. I mean, they really, I hate to say it, because they are currently the only viable alternative to the Republicans, who are just, corrupt beyond belief, and like nothing we've ever seen historically. So I also hate to pick on the Democrats, but they don't get it, and they continue to fail America, and I think it's because of the mindset that they bring to the game from the get-go, that same thing that would lead someone in your district, you know, a Democratic Party leader to say, oh, guess what, yeah, you can run, but you're never going to win in this district. What the hell kind of thinking is that, Tony?
Well, and Brad, you know, you wouldn't have the success you have. I wouldn't have the success I have. Peter B. Collins wouldn't. We could go on and on. If we accepted the premise that by asking for less, we might get it.
Yeah. And it's really remarkable. I don't know how it changes other than we do exactly what you and I are doing and Peter and everybody else, which is to continue to say what is right over and over again, no matter whether it's popular, no matter whether it's the party line. You know, we've got to speak out about it and then hope that people who are listening within earshot of this show today, at the beach or otherwise, take something and do something with it, make it actionable, do something like Chris and Salinas, who has frankly changed history in Monterey County as far as the way elections will proceed. Those are the only things that have an effect. Action.
And before we get to the break here, if Chris is still listening, Brad,
yeah,
that piece of history that he changed, no one can ever take that away from him.
That's right, and no one can ever thank him enough for doing so.
Absolutely. 47 minutes after the hour, I am Tony Trupiano. Brad Friedman from bradblog.com is my guest. We're going to take a quick break here. We'll wrap this hour up on the other side. Not too late to join us. 888-573-8372. We'll take the quick break here on the Peter B. Collins Show. We'll be back on the other side. Stay with us.
Our radio show for the whole family. Dysfunctional family. Stephanie Miller on AM 540 KRXA, 6 to 9 a.m. weekdays.
Let the touch of an angel make your next wedding, anniversary, birthday, or family celebration extra special. Angelina's Bakery, Deli, and Cafe, located at 1725 Fremont Boulevard, Seaside, just across from Craig and Auto Parts, offering full bakery, deli, and cafe services. In the mood for delicious Italian pastries and cookies, specially brewed Latin American coffee, or traditional espresso drinks? Come to Angelina's, where you'll find palate-teasing cheesecakes and specialty cakes for all occasions, as well as tarts and pies with a wide assortment of seasonal flavors. Angelina's Deli features fresh deli sandwiches, breakfast sandwiches, and breakfast burritos. Try Angelina's specialty Mexican and Salvadoran dishes. They're simply delicious. Angelina's Bakery, Deli, and Cafe. Open 7 days a week, Monday through Saturday, 7 a.m. to 8 p.m. Sundays, 7 a.m. to 4 p.m. Treat yourself to the best, where the old world meets the new in a friendly, clean, casual atmosphere. Visit Angelina's today, 1725 Fremont Boulevard, Seaside.
Conspiracy issues bother you? Want to learn more about a subject of interest? ConspiracyCon.com, the conference, is this Saturday and Sunday at San Jose DoubleTree Inn. 9/11 World Trade Center, International Monetary System. Over 10 controversial lecturers will be speaking. ConspiracyCon.com, San Jose DoubleTree Inn, or call 383-2676 for rideshare. ConspiracyCon.com.
Hey everybody, this is Larry from Acme Coffee Roasting Company in Seaside, and I want to know if you're tired of wading through hacky sackers and laptop zombies just to receive a mediocre cup of joe by some underwhelmed employee somewhere. Well, you come on down to Acme Coffee Roasting Company, meet the local hardworking folks all around you. We roast the coffee every day, we're owner-operated, and totally qualified. Why don't you come on down and see how we turned a little alleyway in Seaside, California into a place to grab a good cup of joe. At the corner of Broadway and Contra Costa, come on down, my friends, just drink it. Resist corporate coffee.
Hey everybody, let's take a look at a little bit of traffic to tell you about, and we're going to start off in about Pacheco Pass, westbound 152 after a dinosaur point. Four vehicle crash has been cleared to the right shoulder. Emergency crew still on scene for some reason. They had a medical helicopter that landed as well. They have actually left, which is good news. Heavy traffic on southbound 17 right now, just because of the Memorial Day getaway stuff that you folks need to know about. Let's also tell you that in Aptos, delays possible Saturday and Sunday on Highway 1 at Soquel Drive. Another road roads leading to Aptos because of the Santa Cruz Blues Festival that will take place from 11 to 7 p.m. So that should be a good time. And don't forget, in Felton, expect delays. Highway 9 between the entrance to Henry Cow Park and Graham Hill because of a parade that will begin tomorrow at 9:30 until 11:30. Have a great weekend. That's your traffic.
Welcome back. Tony Trupiano with you on the Peter B. Collins Show, just about 9 minutes before the top of the hour as we get ready to enjoy this Memorial Day weekend. First, before we go any further, in case we run out of time, I want to thank Brian and Katrina for an amazing job today and yesterday. I will be back on Tuesday. Peter B. back on Wednesday. Brad Friedman, my guest from bradblog.com. And Brad, that was, you know, quite a little rant I went on. I felt like, you know, when I was done, I needed to go have a cigarette.
Well, it's good to be back on the air, isn't it?
Yeah, it is good to be back on the air. It's good to find my voice again. I found myself talking to myself a lot, Brad.
Is that right?
The problem
well,
is
you
I
were on,
agreed.
Before you left to run, what, 4 hours a day?
Yeah, I used to do 4 hours a day. And you know, before that, the show I did was 5 hours a day.
So you have been in serious withdrawal for about a year, haven't you?
I have, actually. I have been in serious withdrawal. Listen, before I forget, I want to mention the Palace interview at bradblog.com. Tell us a little bit. I mean, you know, Greg Palace is an amazing journalist, Brad.
Yeah, actually, it's not an interview. It's actually an exclusive article by Greg Palace.
You're right. I'm sorry.
That's okay. He talks about, we'll just start it off with his first sentence, which says, "This Monica revealed something hotter, much hotter, than a stained blue dress." And he was talking, of course, about Monica Goodling and her extraordinary testimony, boy, I think it was Wednesday of this week, in front of the U.S. House Judiciary Committee, and some of the admissions she made concerning vote caging, which is essentially the practice of illegally removing voters from the voting rolls back in 2004 by members of the Bush administration. And the email that Greg Palace received that they thought was going to the I guess the Bush-Cheney 04 committee, but actually ended up in Greg Palast's mailbox eventually, showing these caging lists that were created, and we've got some of that email at Brad Blog, so you can get an idea that ran with his article. It's got an extraordinary amount of eyeballs over the last 24 hours or so since it was posted. And basically says that, look, this is evidence of a felony by Tim Griffin and Karl Rove. Tim Griffin was Rove's aide at the time. And the evidence is right there calling on Congress to take action and do something about it. You can see some of that evidence at bradblog.com. It's about three or four articles down. If you scroll down the front page, you'll see Greg Palast's smiling mug there, and get a look at the story. I think it's a rather extraordinary story, and the fact that Congress isn't doing anything about it for the moment is perplexing at best, but we give you a link to take action and do something about it to make sure Congress hears about this and hopefully does do something about it.
As Brad Blog always does, absolutely. Well, you know, Brad, an extraordinary week in so many different ways, whether we're talking about voter fraud, whether we're talking about Democratic leadership. You know, we walk into this Memorial Day weekend having a great deal to think about and certainly much to ponder. You know, I often wonder, and I worry about you, my friend, because I know how hard you work and I know you don't get much rest, and God knows you could always use more donors at bradblog.com. There's no question you need that. What does keep you going, Brad?
Well, you're right. The donors do help, and you had mentioned earlier, so I'll take the opportunity to mention that you can get a brand new paperback edition of Mark Crispin Miller's Fooled Again as a premium at Brad Blog. It supports the work that we do, and when I say we, I mostly mean I. So we are run. From your donations. That's the only thing that helps us keep going. But you can get this great book with 100 new pages that has a whole bunch of Brad Blog reporting in it, in these new pages that sort of catch folks up on on our disintegrating electoral system since 2006. What keeps me going? Great question. I think it is the fact that I feel, frankly, a duty to my country. I go to bed every night with the dog tags that a mother who lost her son in Iraq had given me back in Crawford, Texas, back in 2005 at Camp Casey. Karen Meredith, who I think you know as well.
Yes.
She lost her son in that war for reasons that that nobody can figure out, frankly. And you know, so I'm sort of reminded that I've got that on my bedpost, and it reminds me every night why this needs to be done and the duty that I feel to my country that I have never felt before in my life. And underscoring all of it, it all comes back to our democracy, and we would not be in this war, I'm convinced, if we had an electoral system that was not gamed and broken, perhaps beyond repair. And if I don't do something about it, it's clear to me, you know, from stories that I've reported in so many cases, if I wasn't here doing it, if I didn't tell some of these stories of some of these people and some of these heroes, frankly, around the country, these things wouldn't be told. And, you know, so for good or bad, I feel a duty to do it. So I guess that's the long answer to your short question. What keeps me going?
When did you start Brad Blog?
What's that?
When did you start Brad Blog?
Early 2004, in January of 2004, really as a lark. Certainly not to do what I'm doing here, just for fun, really. I had been working on a different project for about 5 years that had ended, and it had required me to stay busy week after week, and I took a several months off, a much-deserved, much-needed break, and then was sort of itching for something to do each week, and so I started, my girlfriend said you should start a blog. I said, what the hell is a blog? She explained it to me. I started one and, you know, would post Doonesbury cartoons. Didn't mean to do what I was doing, but once I started seeing what I was seeing and telling people about it and realizing that if I told people about it, it would make a difference, and people began, Washington Post picked up something I covered just before the election, and I realized, gosh, this does make a difference. Speaking out does make a difference.
Absolutely. Well, we've got to get out of here. Brad, of course, will be back here on the Peter B. Collins Show next Friday, as he is every Friday. Brad, have a great holiday weekend.
Thanks for everything, my friend, and I believe I'll be back on your regular show next Tuesday.
Absolutely. I'll look forward to that as well. I will be back here as well next Tuesday, so folks, like it or not, you're stuck with me one more day. I want to wish all of you a great holiday weekend again. My thanks to Brian and Katrina for all their great work. Peter, proud of you and your family as well. Everybody, have a great holiday, and as always, I ask that you be well.